It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
Nothing much, Nick. Slightly recovering from a night full of hibachi and tequila, but always ready for the NBA Outlet.
And some sake in there, too. So
yeah,
if we're puking, we'll kind of know what's going on back there. as always, check us out. iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But obviously, you know, we're still getting close to the trade deadline, so this is going to be another trade theme show. Corey's got a little bit of who would you rather have, trade deadline marathon talk, and then some more stuff at the end. But Corey, get us started.
Yeah, so a little game of who would you rather have. We're going to go position by position. So the first position, obviously, is the point guard position. Who would you rather have, Damian Lillard or Kyle Lowry?
This season, I would have Damian Lillard. I think he's been better, and obviously Lowry's been pretty banged up. Lowry's having a great season when he was healthy, but Dame's been able to stay on the court, and that's, you know, a positive fact to his game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Lillard's offensive numbers, and the fact he's been so durable, pushes him slightly ahead. But Lowry's impact, obviously, as we know, is crucial to any success the Raptors have. He's pretty much like their engine. Next up, shooting guard, Bradley Beal or Donovan Mitchell?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. Thank you.
I think it's easy to be like, well, for the future, I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell, but Bradley Beal's not very old. He's like his mid-20s. I think he's like 25.
26. I think, yeah, I think he's 25, turning 26 this year.
Exactly. You know, obviously Donovan Mitchell's younger, but I think I would go with Donovan Mitchell still because I just like the upside there. I think Bradley Beal's a better player right now. If I'm trying to compete this season, I might get Beal, but Donovan Mitchell, I think there's just a little bit more upside because there's a little bit more unknown.
Yeah, I went with Bradley Beal, but you're right. I mean, obviously, Donovan Mitchell's ceiling is probably a little bit higher right now because we don't know what he can potentially become. Bradley Beal is basically who he is. You know, the numbers may fluctuate slightly. He may get slightly better in efficiency, but this is pretty much who he's going to be for his career, which is a very good playmaker, a fantastic three-point shooter, a good scorer, and a decent defender. I'm still going with Beal, but I can definitely see the case for Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a real one that can go either way.
Now, this one's also hard. Two small forwards, Paul George or Kawhi Leonard?
You know, I think Paul George is having a really, really good season, but Kawhi is still probably the more talented player, and he's still coming back from missing almost entire season last year, so I'm going to go with Kawhi.
I'm oddly enough going with Paul George, and that sounds like a little bit biased because people know my history with Paul George. But if Paul George is going to play with this much energy and this much drive and this much hunger – playing both sides of the ball as efficiently as he ever has in his career, I would take Paul George right now. Obviously, Kawhi is fantastic and a top three player on any given night, depending on, you know, how he's feeling. But I'm giving Paul George a slight edge right now.
I think it's fair you could give him the slight edge now, but I think, like, if you ask me, both guys free agents, who am I signing? I'm signing Kawhi.
Signing Kawhi, 100%. Yeah. Next up, power forward. Blake Griffin or LaMarcus Aldridge? This is probably easy because of the age.
Yeah, I'm going with Blake here, and I like Blake's versatility and what he can bring to an offense where Aldridge is kind of not a modern fit for the NBA.
Yeah, I'm right there with Griffin. That was kind of an easy one. Now, the last one, center, this one's kind of hard. It was a matchup that happened the other night. Rudy Gobert or Nikolai Jokic?
I'm going to go with Jokic here. I think there's just some – he's a little – they're both limited in a certain way, but I think Jokic just provides so much more offensively. And as good as, like, Gobert is defensively, good offense beats good defense. So I think I'm going to go with Jokic here. And he's a – I just think there's, like, more versatility to him. Obviously, Gobert, he's an elite rim protector, if not the best in the NBA.
It's funny because you kind of have, like, the opposite, you know. You have one guy who's defense-oriented, the other guy is offense-oriented. They're pretty much, like, the counterparts of each other in a lot of ways. I'm actually going to go with Rudy Gobert, though. I still lean on the side of defense wins championships, and I value defense a lot more than I value offense. I guess I would enjoy 80-80 scores like in the mid 2000s.
Get your time machine.
I still remember games was like 83-79 at the end of games, and now we're at like 140s and 130s. But I like Gobert just, I mean, for the simple fact of how much he can impact the defensive side of the ball just by being out there. Obviously, Jokic's outlet passes, his ability to rebound and score is something we've never seen from the center position. I think he's averaging a triple-double this year.
Yeah, he's averaging close to it. I think he's at like 7 or 8 assists. But the thing with him is you can literally run an offense through your center, which just provides so much difficulty for the defense to defend. Not to say like you can't, you know, Gobert doesn't have an impact, but I just think Jokic is just like so impactful and is so unique that it's tough for defenses to adjust.
I think what you could even make a case is that for like when you're playing against Jokic, you have to game plan defensively. Against Gobert, you're really not going to plan on how to limit him on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, other than pick and rolls, like that's right. What he's going to do his thing and his putback. So it's like more of just fundamentally sound stuff.
And that's going to wrap it up for that.
Yeah, as always, great Would You Rather. And we did get some breaking news. We talked about this previously on the live NBA Outlet show, and it wasn't solidified that he was going to have surgery, but Spencer Dinwiddie will have surgery on Monday, so he's likely going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Thoughts on this, Corey?
4 to 6 weeks isn't worst-case scenario. I've been watching the teams that are around the Nets, and the Pistons lost last night. Hornets lost. The Magic got a win, I think, right?
No, they lost too.
Oh, well, even better.
The Wizards won, though, and the Wizards just jumped the Magic.
And Miami won too, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, you know, it's an interesting little race there. I think the Nets are going to be able to sustain this. Obviously, they have one of the toughest schedules to end the year, so that's a little bit concerning. But the timetable, right, if he's coming back in 4 to 6 weeks, that's got to be relatively around when Caris LeVert's expected back, no? I haven't heard any news on him.
Well, like the Nets are very quiet about Caris LeVert, so we really have no idea when he's going to come back. Woj hinted yesterday he may be back before March, so we could see Caris LeVert at the end of February. Caris LeVert bobblehead night is February 27th, just so you guys know. But I think actually looking at the schedule – this is probably a very good time to get surgery for Spencer Dinwiddie because they'll be able to take advantage of that week of All-Star weekend where the players get a week off. So it's almost a week where he's out, where he misses no games.
Yeah, that's honestly the silver lining to an injury would be getting hurt before the All-Star break. You can obviously have that extra week of recovery. So that's a good point, Nick.
Yeah, and then let's say he's back, you know, hypothetically early March, mid-March. He still has a good chunk of games to get back in rhythm, and I think that's important because coming back from injury, it's not like it's a snap of the finger. We've seen guys like, you know, it took Paul George a while to get back to his form. Gordon Hayward hasn't got back to his form yet, so not to say that Spencer Dinwiddie's injury is anything like that, but still it's just getting in the rhythm of the game.
Yeah, and also, you know, depending on when Caris LeVert comes back, he obviously has to get eased back in, and then maybe by the time he's getting back to full game reps is when Dinwiddie comes back and you can ease him back in. So it could be just a perfect timing all the way around.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, not to make this a Nets podcast, you can check out the Brooklyn Buzz, but, you know, Shabazz Napier played some solid minutes last night. Theo Pinson, two-way player, really showed up last night. So the Nets have some depth. Hopefully they can get some other guys back like Allen Crabbe and Jared Dudley to kind of hold off the storm. But enough about the Nets. Getting back to our trade deadline marathon talk. Day 18, Dalton Pence, like we've talked about, has been just grinding out these trade articles. So he has Detroit receiving TJ Warren. Phoenix receives Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellison in a 2019 first-round pick, lottery protected.
TJ Warren has been probably one of the best, besides Booker, behind Ayton. TJ Warren's arguably the second or third best player on that Phoenix Suns team, which maybe is not saying much because we know how not good they are. But the one thing Detroit lacks is scoring from the wing position. Stanley Johnson hasn't been it. Luke Kennard is just very young, unpolished. They need offense. I mean, and it seems like every night Blake Griffin's putting up 30-plus points, but they're just not getting enough offense to help them win games. You know, the Phoenix Suns, from this perspective, they get a young guy, Stanley Johnson, take the flyer. But really, you're getting a point guard in Ish Smith, who's a really capable backup point guard. They have no point guard. He could probably play solid Mitch with them as a playmaker. I like this move because the Pistons need offense.
Yeah, and I like it because the pick is lottery protected. So if Detroit doesn't make the playoffs, it's not a terrible move. And we know how bad the cap is in Detroit. So bringing a player like TJ Warren, who's probably an above-average starter or at least a starter in the NBA, is a boost to the team. And like you said, on the Phoenix side, you take a flyer on Stanley Johnson. Maybe you can get him to work out like Kelly Oubre's been working out. Ish Smith is kind of a stopgap for the rest of the year at point guard. Would it make sense to make this move earlier? And if Detroit makes the playoffs, now you get another first-round pick, add another young asset.
Yeah, this is a solid move. Way to go, Dalton. Keep killing it.
All right, on to our next one. Day 19, Matt Peoples gets into the action. The Bulls receive Markelle Fultz and Wilson Chandler. The Sixers receive Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis.
I love this trade. First off, Markelle Fultz, I think he's back with the team now, actually.
Yes, he is. He is.
Which is funny because I think that came out right after we recorded a pod where I literally had said I had heard nothing about Markelle Fultz. And I think later on that night they were like, oh, he's coming back. I was like, oh, of course. So I like this from the perspective the Bulls are obviously rebuilding, and they played against the Hawks the other night. And I actually watched that game on rewind. Don't ask me why. I got no idea. But I wanted to see, like, the young – because you know how it is. Two bad young teams playing against each other is generally, like, a decent, bad, good game, if that makes sense. But the Bulls are way behind on their rebuild. Like, the Hawks look like a good, bad team. The Bulls are a bad, bad team. And I think, you know, why not? Take a risk on Fultz. Obviously, Jabari Parker didn't work out. Maybe Parker going back to a winning situation in Philadelphia helps him spawn life at the small ball four, which is where he probably should be playing, not the three that he's played much of his time in Chicago at. And then obviously, Bobby Portis, I think, is a stud. I actually really enjoy Bobby Portis coming off the bench. I think he can give you a little bit of offense, a little bit of rebounding. Wilson Chandler, to me, is just a little bit older. A lot of injuries, a lot of miles on those legs, a lot of hip injuries and leg injuries. So he's just not the same player to me. So I really like this from the perspective of Philly trying to go at it now. And for Chicago, you know, you're getting an expiring Chandler and a young piece. I actually really like this move.
Yeah, I do. I think I like this move as well. Long as Philly's okay giving up on Markelle Fultz, which seems like was really going to be the case after this whole last year of drama. They get Bobby Portis, who I believe is a restricted free agent, so they could bring him back if they wanted. And he's a solid guy that brings some toughness, brings you some depth. Jabari Parker is kind of a wild card. You know, you really don't know what you're getting with him. It could work out. It could not work out. You got the team option, so it doesn't really matter. And then the Chicago side, like we said, Markelle Fultz are getting another top five pick. You know, a guy who has a lot of potential in a different situation with a lot less pressure. It's not like Chris Dunn is locked in as a starter long term, so Fultz has an opportunity there. And Wilson Chandler, I think if he was traded to Chicago, would probably be a buyout.
Yeah, and actually, one point to make would be It would be funny to see how Jimmy Butler would be with Okafor on the team, because as we know, Jimmy Butler has that take no shit mentality, and we know Parker's thoughts on defense.
Yeah, well, you know, you got Parker, and then you also have Bobby Portis, who's known for, you know, punching his teammate in the face, so he's taking no shit as well. So that would be an interesting locker room over there in Philly. But on to day 19.1, KMT, he has the Hornets receiving Marc Gasol, the Grizzlies receiving Bismack Biyombo, Frank Kaminsky, the Hornets 2019 first-round pick, and two future second-round picks.
Hilarious. I think I was looking at like a 14 deal a couple days ago, and I think I had this similar scenario of Gasol going to the Hornets and Biyombo going to the Grizzlies. I like this move for the Hornets because Marc Gasol is still a vet. He is still a capable center, a very good center in terms of passing, rebounding, defending, and scoring. Obviously, the hot start he had to start off the year is soured. Memphis is falling apart. I like that from the perspective it shows shows Kemba that Charlotte's trying to, you know, acquire some talent, even though it's probably not the right guy to acquire. But Biyombo can't really stay on the floor. Frank the Tank is extremely just dorky and goofy on the court. He's just not a good ball player. Just hasn't really worked out. So I do like this from the perspective of the Hornets getting a capable piece to help them make a playoff run.
Yeah, I think I like it too. I think Marc Gasol in Charlotte could work out. It gives Kemba, you know, a pick and roll partner, a pick and pop partner, adds a legitimate all-star to their team. You know, somebody can really help solidify them as a playoff team. And they're not losing anything in Biyombo and Frank Kaminsky. You know, Biyombo is still a really bad contract. Frank the Tank is just never really lived up to the draft hype. And on the Grizzly side, yeah, you got to take on Biyombo's contract, but you're getting a first-round pick and also two future second-round picks. So I think it's working out for both parties really here.
Yeah, the draft pick for Memphis is what they want.
Exactly. And they, you know, they can afford to take on a bad salary because they are going into a rebuild. Now on to day 19.2, Jeremy Fried. Utah receives Mike Conley, Ivan Rabb, Watanabe, and Memphis receives Dante Exum, Derek Favors, and Grayson Allen.
Watanabe. I just had to say it out loud.
It took me a second to read that one.
So Jeremy gave me credit because I had mentioned possibly Conley to the Jazz in the last NBA outlet we did with Jeremy. I like this move for Utah. They get a point guard that they're desperately lacking. I mean, not that Ricky Rubio isn't a good point guard, but as we know, Ricky Rubio is extremely He's limited offensively with the lack of jump shot he has. Conley obviously would be a good point guard for them. Rudy Gobert is in many ways the perfect kind of pick and roll partner for a guy like Conley. Takes the load off Donovan Mitchell on having all the ball handling responsibilities. So I love that from the Utah's perspective. But for Memphis, you know, Derek Favors is still relatively young. I want to say he's 28, 29, 27, somewhere in his, like, prime of his career. You get a couple young pieces in Exum and Grayson Allen. And Favors can really be, you know, a small ball center alongside Triple J. And that grit and grind may not truly die if you get a guy like Favors.
Yeah, I like the Favors pickup because it's not like he's an amazing player, but he's a stopgap guy that kind of makes him from being terrible. Dante Exum, some potential over there. Grayson Allen was just a first-round pick. And then you look at a Utah size, Mike Conley really boosted them up to another level. And that's not to take anything away from the guys they're getting rid of, but they just weren't all great fits at the same time. You bring Mike Conley in there, now you have a great backcourt with him and Donovan Mitchell. You have other guys to fill you out. I just really like what Utah would do, and I think this would kind of boost them back to what we thought of them before the season started.
You mean like back into like a home court team?
I think they'd be – I don't know if they'd get home court, but I think their talent level would be that high, adding a player like Mike Conley, especially because his fit would be so great. You know, they'd probably roll out a lineup something like Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder at the small ball four, and then Gobert at the five.
Yeah, that's a really good – not just defensive lineup, but offensively too, because, you know, the fact that Ricky Rubio can't score efficiently really limits them. And I think you're right. That would definitely – I'm just looking at the teams above them. You know, they could, honestly, they're tied with Houston for the five seed. Well, two games back in the loss column. With a guy like Conley, you know, they're only four games out of second. I mean, it's not crazy to think that they could honestly get that high if they were to get a true point guard in Conley.
And they're getting hot, just like they did last year. You know, in the second half of the season, they were great. The first half of the season, they were not. And that was a lot because Gobert was hurt, but 8-2 in their last 10 games. This move, I love it. And I, even if I'm Utah and I have to include a pick in this trade, I think I'm pulling the trigger because Conley, I just love the fit. They're not going to sign a big free agent, so just pull the trigger. The whole point you signed Derek Favors for that contract with the partially guaranteed second year was to probably trade him anyways.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I'm 100% on this trade. Great trade, Jeremy. Now on to day 20, which is today. Matt Peoples back at it again. So Pistons receive Markelle Fultz, Forkan Korkmaz, and the Sixers receive Reggie Bullock, Ish Smith, and Stanley Johnson.
Well, clearly Matt has given up on Fultz. He's over it because these last two trades are Fultz leaving.
I think he sent in four trades to have Markelle Fultz going out. The other two will be posted the next 2 days.
Perfect. You know, for this trade, I'm not huge on this trade personally, but I think, you know, there's some points to make of. I don't think the Sixers need Ish Smith. You already have TJ McConnell as your backup point guard, who pretty much does exactly what Ish Smith does. Maybe not as good of a shooter. Stanley Johnson, a decent defensive wing, but I don't think he really fits what they need. Reggie Bullock, if he's healthy, yeah, they could use that kind of offense because it's probably a little bit more consistent than what Korkmaz gives you. And then from Detroit, you're getting a nice young piece in Fultz who can hopefully possibly replace Reggie Jackson in the future. And also that, can we please give a second to say that was the most cringeworthy post-game interview with Blake Griffin where Reggie Jackson, like, photobombed or whatever? That was so cringy.
Yeah, especially with what he was talking about.
Yeah, he was pretty much saying, like, my teammates don't focus.
Yeah.
So I think this move's okay, but this is not a move I see either team really, like, pushing to make.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible trade because, like you mentioned, Reggie Bullock could really help Philly. Stanley Johnson's kind of a flyer. Ish Smith gives you some guard depth. He does provide something a little bit different with his speed. Detroit side, obviously, you get Markelle Fultz, so that's something for the future. And Korkmaz has shown a little bit. He's still a younger player as well. I think I probably like it a little bit more from the Detroit side.
Yeah, I think Detroit getting the young asset, the two young assets, and Fultz and Korkmaz, probably makes more sense for them because it looks like you want to try and get some of these older guys out and just some new young pieces because Detroit actually is low-key a mess.
Yeah, no, I don't even think it's low-key.
Yeah, it's probably high-key. You're right.
Yeah, but that wraps it up for a trade deadline marathon. Like we said, we'll be going up to the deadline. Be sure to check it out every day on otgbasketball.com. We did get some news over the last few days, though. It looks like we have the slam dunk contest participants. So we got John Collins, Dennis Smith Jr., Derek Jones Jr., and Miles Bridges.
I love Miles Bridges being in this. This actually should be a really exciting dunk contest. These are so hit or miss. Generally, it depends on the format that they do the dunk contest in. obviously, it's not like those Nate Robinson, Dwight Howard dunk contest, the Allen Iverson, the Vince Carter. Like, those are like the glory days. But this is a nice young pairing of stars who all throw down hammers. Like, I'm really looking forward to see what Bridges can do. He's probably my pick to win it.
Yeah, I'm not going to give my pick. Yeah, I'll wait till like the All-Star preview show. But I think this is an excellent group. All young guys with a little something to prove, a little chip on their shoulder. We've seen all these guys already throw down big dunks in game. There's not – like, I actually could see any of one of them winning the contest.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think it's kind of come down to who can get the most creative dunk. Like you said, all these guys have thrown down some hammers, you know, in live-action games, and they're all crazy athletic.
And I'm happy that John Collins is in the slam dunk contest because now people are going to pay attention to the season he's having because he's been very good for the Hawks. You mentioned before, the rebuild is kind of a little ahead of schedule, and I really like what I'm seeing from Atlanta. It reminds me of the Nets and their early rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it the right way.
Now they're looking
to trade Taurean Prince, right? That came out too, yeah. That he's going to be available. So they're even flipping some young assets who they just don't see fitting with them long term, which you don't normally see. So this has been a really good rebuild for them. And like you mentioned, John Collins, especially the last like 2 months, arguably probably a top 10, was he a sophomore? Probably a top 10 sophomore at this
point. Yeah, I saw him top five. I saw him live a couple weeks ago at Barclays Center, and he was great. You know, he's just very energetic, plays hard. You know, I think there's some minor things he can add to his game, but I think All-Star's in his future.
For sure.
Now, Corey, talking about trades, like we said, this is going to be a trade-themed show. What are some teams that just need to call it a season and become sellers? You know, those teams that were on the fringe, like a team like Orlando, who's talked about, hey, we want to make the playoffs, but now we're 9 games under .500. What are some teams that need to just call it and become sellers and kind of build towards next year?
Well, I think Memphis is one team, obviously, that we've clearly they're about to blow it up. I would even say New Orleans is teetering. Obviously, they're going to wait till Anthony Davis comes back, probably. Obviously, the deadline is also only 2 weeks away, but it feels like New Orleans is one of those teams I think should probably blow it up too. A lot of these teams are going to be from the East because, honestly, I think Miami, I think Washington, I think Detroit, I think Orlando – I think all of those teams should probably give up with where they are. I mean, Washington, you could probably say they can keep going because they've been having some recent success. But Detroit, Orlando, blow it up. And honestly, this may come as a giant shock, but I think the Indiana Pacers should now be in that category. Ton of expiring contracts, Bogdanovich, Collison, Corey Joseph, O'Quinn, Tyreek Evans. Your best player just went down. Are you really going to bring a lot of these guys back next year? I mean, these guys aren't the kind of players you want on the contending team, generally speaking. So those would probably be like the five teams that I think should blow it up.
Yeah, definitely interesting situation with the Pacers. I think they could even, like you mentioned on a previous show, make a few trades and still make the playoffs because they have such a nice cushion. I would go with Orlando for sure. I think you have to kind of just call it a season. You have Vucevic, you have Terrence Ross, both expiring contracts, guys that there's a good chance you're not going to bring back, and you could probably get a nice young player for them or a draft pick. I think Detroit's a really interesting situation because their salary cap is so bad, and it's like they can't fully go in the tank. So it definitely have to be the right trade for them. And like you said, with Washington, they're playing so well, and they don't really want to trade Bradley Beal anyways. So I think they kind of just keep going. Miami, like, it would make sense for them to probably sell, but they'll probably sell for still a couple pieces and still be in the playoff hunt. It's just like Pat Riley always wants to be competitive. And like you said, on the West side, it's tough to say. I think Memphis has already said they're pretty much become sellers. Now, New Orleans, it would make sense, but they'd probably want to prove to AD that, like, hey, we want to compete, we want to win. I think Dallas is an interesting one, but you don't have your draft pick, so there's no reason in kind of losing anyways, and it's not like they have a ton of great expiring contracts. I think most of the guys they have, they'd like to keep around. Minnesota's an interesting one. I think they're young as well, so it's just kind of keep going forward. Same thing with Sacramento. They don't have their pick, so they're just going to try to win games.
Yeah, that's the issue with a lot of teams in the West. It's just they're playing. They don't got enough picks, or they don't have the picks to tank, so why throw away the season? It's interesting, the West, because as we mentioned too, you know, New Orleans is 13th, but they're still only 5 games out of the 8th spot. You know, a lot of those teams in the West are still alive, unlike the East.
Yeah, like you can definitely just get back in that race with a great stretch. And obviously, when you're a team like New Orleans, you have one of the best players in the NBA, so that can kind of just give you a major boost. Now, on the other side, Corey, what are some teams that just need to pull the trigger and make a move right now and either solidify their playoff spot or solidify themselves as a contender?
I mean, this may sound strange, but I think Philly is a team that needs to pull the trigger on some sort of move, preferably somebody who can shoot the ball for them. And then a lot, then it goes back to the West. I think Portland, Oklahoma City, Houston, Utah, the Lakers too. Obviously the Lakers are a different story because without LeBron James, you know, it's kind of cloudy, right? You know, they're just not a good team without the best player in the planet, believe it or not. But those are Oklahoma City, Portland, Utah, and the Lakers are the four teams in the West. I think all those teams could benefit greatly by just going out there and getting a borderline all-star or a guy who can shoot the ball. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a name that kind of sticks out, but obviously the contract's really bad, so they probably wouldn't want him. But these teams in the West, I think, all could benefit by pulling the trigger.
Yeah, OKC definitely could add some shooting. I think that would just be the perfect add. Portland could add, like, another guy. Like, it could be a starter, somebody who can score the ball, a six-man type, just, like, someone who's maybe a fringe all-star. Houston, we know they need something. They've been so banged up. Obviously, the Kenneth Reed signing has worked out for them. And Utah, we just talked about, if they were to get some type of point guard upgrade, I think that'd make them a lot scarier. And then the Lakers, you know, there's talk about them being willing to move Kuzma, Ball, pretty much any of their young players to get a star this season. So there'll be a name we hear a lot. Now on the East side, I think Milwaukee could maybe add one more role player. You mentioned the Pacers, you think they should sell. I agree with Philly. Definitely need to get some more depth in there. Boston, they're not really going to make any moves. And other than that, I think a lot of the teams that are like fringe playoffs in the East, it doesn't necessarily make sense to, you know, risk your future unless you're Charlotte and you want to try to convince Kemba to stay to make a move to push you to the playoffs.
100% agree.
So, but any other final thoughts on buyers and sellers at the deadline?
Just that I have a weird hunch this is going to be a really busy deadline. I don't know why, but it's been kind of quiet the last couple of weeks. We've been hearing more and more rumors, but it just feels like because of how close the talent is and how far away a team like the Warriors are, it just feels like a lot of teams are going to start making moves.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too. I think one thing that like has the potential to make it a big deadline is there'll be so many buyers. The question is, how many teams are going to become sellers or be willing to become sellers? If someone like Orlando adds themselves to the seller list, I think that creates a lot more talent out there because you look at teams like just right off the bat, Orlando has players they want to move. Atlanta would have players they want to move. Chicago, New York, even Cleveland. That's like five teams right there that could trade two or three guys that could really boost some playoff teams.
No, without a doubt.
So it's going to be something to keep an eye on. Like we said, make sure you're checking out otgbasketball.com for the trade deadline marathon. But Corey, that wraps it up. As always, a pleasure. Thank everybody for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, otgbasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.